Paranormal Truth and Reality with host Chris Houston. A show for those with a passion for the paranormal. And now, welcome to the show.
Welcome to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston. I apologize. We had some technical issues, so we're starting a little bit late. We were supposed to have Jonathan Forsaken Realm on the line with us. I don't know if he made it in or not because we were running a little bit late here. So I don't know if Donald had a chance to pipe him in or not. If not, then we'll kind of run with the show, and I'll see if I can't get him to call in on the main line. So
Your guest is with us.
Okay. Beautiful.
Yeah, I'm here.
Awesome. I apologize for the delay there, Jonathan. I had a little bit of an issue with my system here. We hardwired in a server, and unfortunately the server liked to play with the line, so it kept kicking in and out, and I had no idea what was going on. So I'm going to leave this a little bit open for him. We're going to talk about you. We're going to talk about your experiences, what you ran into. We'll talk a little bit about your opinions as a mostly a spectator in the paranormal. I know you haven't had a chance to actually be out with very many investigation teams, but you have had the privilege of coming out with one of our film events, and you're always welcome to do that again. In fact, G2 Productions just got started about 4 weeks ago, so in the future, you'll be getting paid when you come out to help film with me. So that's a beautiful thing, right?
I mean, either way, like paid or not paid, I mean, it's great for the experience and actually able to be there.
Yeah, it was fun. We spent some time out in Tennessee, and I don't know about you, but I quite enjoyed the experience. It wasn't as scientific as I would have liked from time to time, but it was a very fun time. It was a beautiful place. Wonderful, wonderful being out there. I know that you've done a lot of you've traveled all over the place. So let's talk about some of the locations you've been as a spectator, some of the things you've experienced. And, you know, it's not very often, to be honest with you, Jonathan, that we get a chance at Paranormal Truth and Reality to sit down and talk to the individuals. We spend a lot of time talking to the investigators, if you've ever listened to us before. We spend a lot of time talking to the homeowners and the property owners and the location owners and the scientists and so forth. But I don't get a chance that often to just talk to somebody that's out there in the public. And you've spent a lot of time in the public, not only visiting conventions but locations. So tell us about some of those locations and what you've experienced as a person.
The one location we've been to a couple of times is we've been to the Ohio State Reformatory a few times. It wasn't for an event or anything. Like, it was for basically like a ink in the clink is what they call it. And we got to walk around the prison and basically tour ourselves through it. And there were certain areas in there to where we kind of I don't know. It's kind of like an anxiety type feeling. Like you can feel something there. There was a couple of spots in the building that we actually felt like that. The one was we were going up a set of stairs, and we got partway up, and then started feeling like that. Got all the way to the top, and it didn't change at all. And there was a couple other spots in there that we felt the same way, but other than that, like, there's only a few spots that we felt like that. The rest of the time we didn't really feel much of anything, but I mean, it's been the same both times that we've been there.
Did you get the – we're doing the Ohio State Reformatory in August. Did you get the invitation? If you didn't, I'll send you over one. But you're welcome to come along with that. I think I've got maybe 15 or 20 people going. There is a cost involved. It runs about $80 a person, but it's really not that bad. It's an overnight investigation, so you get to go through the tour again as well as just go off and investigate the building. So, you know, if you're interested in that, let me know. I'll be glad to send it over to you. I think you get a kick out of it. I got a lot of a lot of normal people, and I've got some team investigators that are coming in. So it's kind of, you know, it's different. It's a group investigation, gives everybody a chance to go along with one of the members of the Ohio State Reformatory and just do your thing.
Yeah, I mean, Yeah, I mean, that is one of the locations we like, since it's like fairly close, and I mean, it's not that far away to get there.
No, I love the place.
Usually we go at least once a year.
Yeah, I absolutely love the place. Well, you guys are welcome to come in August. It's August 26th that we're doing the event. I think, like I said, I've got about 15 to 20 people that are going to be going. So it's not just a individual investigation with a group of people. It's just a large group of people doing their own thing, going out in different areas and kind of investigating on their own, as well as the tour and so forth. We put it together about 90 days ago or so, but I love Ohio State Reformatory. It's only 30 minutes away from me. Robert and his crew are wonderful guys. They tend to give you the history and just follow along with you and help you if you need it. Otherwise, they let you do your own little investigations. It's a fun place to go. I enjoy it overnight. It's fun just to go in there and do the tours, to be honest with you. You get a history and you get to talk to people, and it's a blast.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't been able to do an overnight thing there. I mean, we've talked about it, but haven't really had the time or money to do it with working and everything like that. And then the schedule is not lining up with dates that they do have the overnights and everything.
Yeah.
But we're hoping here in the near future do some overnight things at Ohio State Reformatory, and there's some other locations that we're wanting to go to again. So the one we're wanting to go to again is Waverly Hills. I mean, we've been there once for the flashlight tour.
Uh-huh.
And that was a pretty interesting experience. I mean, they explained the history of the building, which was cool. And then, we felt things going up a set of stairs, because we were going from, I think it was the first floor to the second floor, and as we were going up the stairs, my fiance was a step above me, and I kind of felt like there was something in front of me, and before I could say something to her about it, she turned and she's like, something just like pushed her against the wall. So I mean, that kind of explains the feeling that I felt something in front of me, that, and then her saying she got pushed against the wall.
You know, I always wanted to feel something at Waverly. I've been there 7 times now, and to be honest with you, I haven't caught anything all 7 times, with the exception of the death tunnel, where I did have something tossed at me right at the end of the tunnel that I can't explain. An old rusty screwdriver with no handle that just out of the blues hit me right in the back. but outside of that, it's been very, very peaceful for me. I love the building. I love Tina, and I love the employees that she has. It's a wonderful place to go visit. It's a beautiful building, and it has an amazing history. I've always wished I could get more out of it, but I think it's been done so much that you just got to kind of luck into it. Either you get there on a good day or you don't.
that's the way I feel. I mean, cause like, you hear about, there's been so many people that went there and investigated there, and now at all the tours that they have, you know, cause they get booked pretty quick for their open season.
Uh-huh. Really quick, like they're already booked through this year and into the middle of next year. So you gotta either jump on the group invites when they pop up, or you're pretty much screwed. And it's not cheap, listeners, so that you know, going to Waverly, because Tina has an incredible cost of upkeeping the building, and she's doing a lot of restoration that she's been doing for the past, gosh, almost 10 or 15 years now. Though I won't go over the cost involved, I'll leave that up to you if you decide to contact Tina directly. It's not a low cost to go into Waverly. So a lot of times you end up with flashlight tours when they're doing it to help fund the reconstruction of the building, or when you have other investigators, you pitch in and you become a part of that team and sign their releases and make sure that they're paid. But it is a wonderful place to go if you ever have a chance to go to it. It's kind of like Myrtle's Mansion. Myrtle's and the Mansion is very expensive to go into, and the owners are wonderful. But if you ever get a chance to go there, it's a beautiful place to visit.
Yeah, we loved it. We plan on going again. I mean, that was one of the places on our bucket list to go, and it just so happened we were going to be going to Tennessee to help my mom move stuff out of the house that she had down there, and it lined up perfectly. We called because it said sold out online, but we made a phone call, and they said they had two spots open. We're like, we'll take them. I mean, they filled up quick. Like, I was waiting for payday, and I went out there on payday and said everything was booked, filled up, and I was like, oh, it's like maybe we should try call and see if maybe they had a couple of openings, and they did. And like, it was a great experience. I love the place. Like, we plan on going back again.
Yeah, the people are wonderful there that do the tours, and I got a kick out of Waverly this last time. It wasn't ghost related, listeners, but I carried on a very wonderful conversation with a deer and two cats. So it's just an amazing place. You'd never know it's there either, because when you drive around, there's apartments and houses all around this place where they have it fenced off. And then you go, what, about 2 or 3 miles down the road to get to it? And you have no idea that this wonderfully massive building is back there until you see it. And then you just, at all, if you've never been there before, you just kind of go, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah, that place is huge. Like, it's like, we pulled up on it, and I was like, wow. I was like, this place looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it's an outstanding building. I'm going to ask you a couple of things just from a standpoint of a bystander, since you haven't been on paranormal investigations a lot, and I know you went on one with me with investigators, and you've probably seen other investigators throughout this. Now, you've watched plenty of TV shows, obviously, and you've had the experience of seeing several investigators go out there. Now, I always ask everybody this, so you're not alone, but I very rarely get a chance to ask a bystander outside of a personal story that's going to be in the documentary where I covered it with about 15 kids at a campground. Thanks to Jay Pierce, wonderful man, handled the whole interview. All I had to do was just manage a camera. It was great, but that's a whole other story there. As you know, I use a lot of different people to manage the cameras. We have a lot of volunteers with Generation Truth that come in and help out when they can. So, but what do you think of all the modern devices that the paranormal investigators do? Do you think they're on the right track? Do you think they're on the wrong track? Do you think these things actually work? Or do you think it's more personal experiences and we're just not looking at it right?
There's so many different things that can go about it. I mean, yeah, some of them could work. I mean, do you really know if they do or not? I mean, it's not 100%. I mean, I feel that maybe they are on the right track because, I mean, the spirits can, use energy from a device to communicate. I mean, maybe some of the electronic devices that they're coming up with or using, I mean, maybe they are working, maybe not. I mean, maybe they need to dig a little bit deeper into it.
Yeah, I think a lot of times, I mean, scientifically speaking, being around a lot of universities throughout the years, the devices themselves, they work, but are they actually capturing a ghost? This is something that I'm actually writing a book on right now, and I'm going to be covering a little bit in some smaller pieces, interviewing people around the whole United States. But the big question is, what are we truly using these devices for? For instance, an electromagnetic meter. Now, to the observer like yourself, you know that it spikes. You know it's there to pick up electromagnetic energy, right?
Yeah.
But the question is it a ghost that's affecting the device, or is it the surroundings that are affecting the device? And if you actually scientifically look at it, you can develop a spike off an electromagnetic meter from virtually anything, including the Earth, and it can come randomly. It's kind of like a a thermometer, which we use a lot of times. Yes, we can judge whether the temperature drops or raises. But when you're in a school, as an example, or a basement, when that temperature drops, is the temperature dropping because there's a ghost there, or is the temperature dropping because you're picking up the variable from the brick and it just happened to start getting a little cooler with a breeze? These are the things that I think people should look into in a little bit more detail when they're holding these devices out to determine what's really going on. Could a ghost really be in a room? We don't really know. Because what is a ghost? A ghost is technically a non-physical explanation. And when you're dealing with non-physical explanations, it becomes a whole other realm most people don't look into. You and I believe in ghosts, right?
Yeah.
But believing in a ghost and seeing a ghost are two different things. Because technically, what is a ghost? If I were to ask you right now, Jonathan, what is a ghost, how would you define it?
I mean, I basically, something that you can't see with your naked eye, basically.
Yeah, well, and that's basically what it's defined in the paranormal world as. A ghost is, in the paranormal, is defined as a non-physical entity is what they like to call it, or theoretically, it's a non-physical definition. And I was actually talking in a university about this here in the past 2 weeks. Non-physical in the science world is a way to define what we can't physically see in presence or form. An example of this is space. We know space has to have a beginning and an ending, but we can't see the beginning or the ending. However, mathematically and scientifically speaking, in order to call it space, we have to make sure it adds up. So we created a non-physical word called space to equal out the math from beginning to end. Time is the same way. Time is something that we know is in motion. It moves, but you don't physically see time. You just see the after effects from the time. So in order to define that mathematically, in order to explain it, we created it in a non-physical form with mathematics and a name called time. Ghosts are the same way. We can't really physically see a ghost. We can't really physically touch a ghost, but we have to explain what a ghost is. So we non-physically come up with a word that makes logical sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So what we really need to do is we need to dig deeper to find out more about that non-physical form. And that's what I think some people are on the right track on, some people are on the wrong track on. But it's something that that we're going to pursue a little bit with Generation Truth, I think, a little bit in the science when we start delving into interviewing a few people and so forth. But I got a little bit off of track there. Let's let's talk a little bit about you know me, Jonathan. I tend to talk science all day long, and I'll talk your leg off. But
There's no problem with that. You know, I mean, I like hearing it and learning more about it. I mean, like, I'm always willing to learn more about something.
Well, in the paranormal, what a lot of people have forgotten about with all of the way that the industry has standardized in the directions they're going is, what is the paranormal? The paranormal, if you break it down, means the unknown, things that are not able to be defined by science as of yet. So if you actually look at it, it goes past ghosts. It goes past demons. It goes to virtually everything. UFOs, Bigfoot, geology, science, archaeology, the unexplained, anything we can't define right now in physical science and non-physical science becomes paranormal until we can define it. Theoretically speaking, listeners, so that you know, the atom bomb before it was created was paranormal, just so that you're aware. We stumbled upon it, we went oops, and we blew something up, and we found out we could create the atom bomb. But before that, we were trying to figure out how to create it by messing around with molecules, and we had no idea what a molecule was going to do. So it was unknown in science. There was no math that added up on it. We were guessing. It was unknown. It was paranormal. And then one day, pfft, kaboom, hey, I screwed up and I made a bomb. Cool. and that's really what the paranormal is it's the unknown. We run into that virtually every single day. And we just simply don't look at it the right way. Ghosts are just one portion of it. They're a fascinating portion. I love going out on investigations. It's the funnest thing in the world. I love learning about the history. there's an amazing amount of histories out there. In fact, you and I have talked about that several times, Jonathan. You've been all across the state of Ohio and looked at some places that most people haven't. They all have a wonderful history, great investigations, great truths to them. It's an amazing world to get into. But how often do people dive deeper? That's the question people should be asking, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's not too often you hear people digging deeper. But, I mean, yeah, there are quite a few locations that we've been to. I mean, it was like some of them are just the spur-of-the-moment things. We'll be out around that area and we'll be looking up haunted locations. And we're like, hey, here's one. Let's go check this one out. And happen to go check it out and whatnot. I mean, there's one location that we haven't – I mean, we walked around the outside, but as far as I know, it's not structurally sound at the moment. But the owner is working on getting everything to be structurally sound. But that one's the House of Wills that's out in Cleveland. It used to be a funeral home. And that's one we would like to get into, but until it's structurally sound, I mean, obviously not safe to go into, but the owner, as far as I've seen, is working on getting it up to where it's structurally sound. I'm not sure what he's going to do with the play. I don't know if he's going to allow tours or investigations or anything like that. I mean, won't know until he has it structurally sound and decides what he wants to do with it.
Well, those are the places that are the most unique, and I hate to say it, but the most fun to go into. You know, you've got an incredible history in the House of Wills, and if nobody's touched it before and you're one of the first people to go in there, you're fascinated with the history, you're fascinated with the culture, and you get to walk into a building that outside of the owner, how many people have really been in it in the past 20 years, you know?
Yeah, I mean, from what I've looked up, there's been a couple of people that have actually done a little investigation. I don't know if it was paranormal teams or a group of people wanting to investigate or whatnot, but I know there was a couple of people that I was able to find out that have been there, but there wasn't too many from what I've seen.
Well, I'd love to go there if he ever gets it structurally sound. I'm the strange one, though. I can go in with a team. I can go in there by myself and just lock myself in a building and sit down and be like, wow, this is cool.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a pretty cool place from the outside. You know, I want to be able to get inside, but, I mean, until it's structurally sound, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's all up to the owner on who he would let in there before it's structurally sound or how well the floors are to even be able to let somebody in there.
Yeah. Especially if it has an upstairs and a downstairs, you got people falling through the floors.
Yeah.
There's a school up here in Ohio that they're working on right now that I'm going to go in and investigate. That's kind of the same way, and I didn't get permission to say the name, so I won't, but he doesn't have power in it right now, and he just got the first floor done. He's working on the second floor, but it has a bit of a history to it that I'm just fascinated with going in there, because I'll be one of the first people to invite a team to go in, and when we do go in, we probably won't have very much power, so we're going to have to bring our own generators to charge everything. But nevertheless, it'll be a fun experience. I love situations like that. I'm the guy that'll just run off and go wandering around in the woods until you find an old beat down house and go, hey, let's go walk in there and see what we can find.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I am. Like, hey, here's an old abandoned building. Let's go check it out. You know, like,
yeah. It bites you in the butt sometimes, though, because then the owner comes back and goes, what are you doing in here?
I mean, that's what happened when I lived in Indiana. I went down the road near my house, and I ended up finding an old Nike missile base, and I was like, hey, I'm going to go check this out.
Oh, that would be sweet. I have never been in a abandoned military site, missile base, or any of those. I know there's several running around, but I've always wanted to do that. I had a friend that went into the bunkers in Germany, because across Germany, listeners, and some of the Philippines and so forth, there are abandoned bunkers everywhere that have been flooded that they just kind of left. And he took his team into four abandoned bunkers that they found, and they give you this eerie feeling, but it's also cool because you know you just walked into a part of history that's telling a story in itself just by looking at the walls. Still with us?
Yeah.
Just wanted to make sure we didn't lose connection there. So, I know that you went to several buildings. You've had a chance to go to some ghost tours. What brought you into looking in the paranormal? Why did you decide one day, hey, look, this is fascinating. I want to go look more.
Well, I mean, I guess basically it started out when I was a kid. I mean, I can't remember what age I was. It might have been 5, 6 years old. I was staying at my grandparents' house, and I was asleep on their couch. And, I mean, obviously nobody was up. It was extremely late at night. And from what I remember, I happened to roll, like I was going to roll off the couch. And instead of falling straight to the floor, it felt like something caught me and like set me on the floor. And I opened my eyes and I didn't see anybody there. My grandparents' door was still shut to their bedroom, everything. And I just laid, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what it was. And I mean, I guess in a way that's what got me interested in it. Like, you know, that was unexplained. I want to know more about it.
That's, I think that's why a lot of us go into the paranormal, to be honest with you. You have these life experiences sometimes, and no matter how far you dig into it, you can't come up with a logical answer. So that means the illogical is there, and the human mind, we really want an explanation. You know, we dive into a lot of things because we're curious, but we're curious because we want to know how things work. And I think, personally, I think that ghosts are kind of the same way. When you get pushed down, when you have a feeling, when you see something fly across a room that you can't explain, you kind of, it sticks in your head. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And when it sticks into your head, at that point, it becomes a life thing. You know, you talk about it with your friends and they're curious, and then you get curious, and then somewhere along the line you just kind of dive into the whole thing and look deeper. And there's literally, listeners, so that you know, believe it or not, out of the millions of people here in the United States, you will find that at least 90% of the people you speak to will have some sort of paranormal experience in their life, whether it's a ghost, an angel, a demon, a relative, a UFO, an unusual sighting that's crypto that people can explain as a dozen different things. Whatever it is, if you sit down and talk to your neighbor, somewhere along the line, they're going to tell you a story. It's just, I don't know if it's bred into us. I don't know if we all see these things. I don't know what it is, but you will always find a paranormal story if you dig deep enough. It's really kind of an amazing thing. We're actually doing a whole piece on a park in Kentucky that we've had the privilege to talk to several people in, and I'm going to interview a couple of geologists up there. There's a local resident that's up there. This park is amazing. It's had UFO sightings. It's had Bigfoot sightings. It's had suicides that have ghost sightings. And that's just the start. It's like the gold mine, man. Have you ever watched the TV show where somebody's stuck in a place like Skinwalker Ranch and there's 12,000 stories and you could just do a story on every one of them? It is. It's a great place. I'm going to invite a bunch of people up to help film with it and go through some things somewhere along the line. But I absolutely love it. The people are amazing. It's cheap to stay there. You can rent a cabin up there for like I think we did it for $70 a night, and it houses like 16 people.
That's not bad.
No, it averages out to like less than $20 a person. You got air conditioning in the place, and a little refrigerator and a microwave. So you got all the basic necessities of camping when you're not camping. So I know that we talked about a couple of things, and I've asked you some questions, but I'm going to open it up to you a little bit, Jonathan. What questions would you like to ask, and what things would you like to talk about? I mean, it's not very often that you get on a digital radio show, and of course, obviously, as a spectator, I'm sure you've done a lot of things that you either have questions about or want to talk about.
What's the one location that you've been to where you've had the most activity?
Believe it or not, the most activity I ever had was on a ranch in Arizona. I was working with the International Paranormal Society, IPS, I did that for a number of years as an interview process. And we went into a ranch with a gentleman that had claims through the board. And it became one of those things when you're interviewing the people going, yeah, right, whatever. Yeah, right, whatever. Yeah, right, whatever. But during that period in the night, we not only experienced things flying off the walls, what would seem to be doors opening and closing, we heard strange noises in the woods. At one point, we had a large log thrown at the house. And believe it or not, we even saw some strange lights outside that I can't explain. So we had multiple paranormal occurrences in one location that happened so much throughout the night, you couldn't concentrate on one to debunk it. It was an amazing experience. Scared the piss out of me a couple of times, to be frankly honest with you. But it's the most activity I think I've ever seen in a location. And residential tends to give more activity. I don't know if it's because of the people, because of the history, or because the commercial sites are just torn up so bad that whatever it is doesn't want to respond. But when you're going into a residential home, you tend to pick up on things when you actually get a case. There's a lot of things you got to rule out. But when you actually get a case, you tend to pick up on things that just happen out of the blues from the time you walk in the door. We had one where that was in Indiana, actually, where we had a lady that was complaining that she was hearing crying at night, walking, scratching on the door. Things were being moved. Pictures were being taken off the walls. And we went through all the interviews, and I got to a point when the camera was actually videotaping for personal experience so that the team could look at it, because they always interviewed me. They recorded me doing the interviews, and then they would come in and do the investigation while I'm doing the interviews. I do a pre-screen, and then I do a screen the day of to get everybody involved. So the cameras would always be sitting behind me aimed at the people. And she said when she first came in, they went up to retool the upstairs, and there's this little room upstairs, and they found a small room behind it that had been, you know, sealed up. So they were going to extend it and use it as an attic closet. When she broke into there, she found this little wooden horse, and she took it out, and she kept the little wooden horse, and she kept saying the little wooden horse moved around all over the place. And she had the little wooden horse in the kitchen I was interviewing her at. And one of the questions that we were always to ask is, do you believe it's a ghost? So that you can get the physical reaction from the person on yes or no. And they always get into sub questions. And she said, yes, I believe it's a ghost. And part of our personal interview process was to give statements that backed that were kind of reactive statements. So the next statement that I gave was, well, if it's a ghost, don't you think that that ghost would want to react today? If it's not a ghost, then we shouldn't see anything. The moment I said that, that horse flew off of the table and right into my lap for no reason. It just flew right off the table and right at me and hit my lap. And that was, I think, one of the more unique experiences I can remember, outside of a few personal experiences. But Those are the most active experiences, I think. And we got it on tape. The team was amazed by it. They tried to debunk it a dozen different times, couldn't debunk it. And eventually they found out when they did the research that a young boy that lived there, his father was working all the time. And his father was a he worked in wood. You know, he worked in wood crafting, doing log cabins, and he would carve out things all the time. So he carved this little wooden horse for his son. And eventually he lost his job and stayed at home because his son developed tuberculosis and died upstairs. After the son died, the family, the husband was, the wife was grief-stricken, so she passed away of suicide. And then the husband moved away and died of old age eventually. So it was believed that the boy remained. And the team that was with me at the time gave a suggestion. Well, sometimes these things just simply don't pass on. And the little boy is probably seeing you as a family. So he wants to interact with you. I would recommend taking the wooden horse and putting it in a room, taking that room that was his and putting some toys in there, give him a bed, and see if it dies down a little bit. And they did that, and they've been living with him, to my understanding, ever since. They've never had any problems. If he acts up a little bit, they just say, okay, it's time for you to go to sleep. And they got a ghost in their home they're perfectly happy with. So one of those amazing little stories.
I mean, that's understanding. I mean, as long as it's like one of them friendly type spirits like that, but I mean, I don't see why anybody'd have a problem with it.
Well, and most of the time, to be upfront with you, everybody sees the negative when they're watching television, and I get that. Zach and everybody else are wonderful people. They're great at with their jobs. I never say anything bad about them. They've got a job to do, and of course, negative sells. You don't want to sit there and see kind-hearted stories 24 hours a day or 7 days a week, or you get bored with a TV show. But if you get to see something scary with a scary history, it kind of makes you go, huh, I'll watch this a little bit further. But reality is, the scary portion of the paranormal is less than 1%. There's really not a lot of scary things out there. And most of the time, those scary things are more something we created because let's think about it a little bit. Even though I firmly believe that there are things at the Ohio State Reformatory, let's use this as an example, or any of the reformatories. It doesn't have to be them. We are in a building that's basically abandoned with old jail cells that have a history. Now turn off the lights and go lay down in one of those cells. How are you going to feel? You know, and that sets in. From personal experience, listeners, so that you know, I know this. I've actually videotaped it. I'm not going to put that part in my documentary because there's a wonderful guy. If you guys ever get a chance to watch his documentary, his name is Matt Benton. He's been on the show before. He did a whole piece where he went to many locations, jails, schools, and so forth, and he locked himself down for 3 days straight. Never left. And he wanted to see how human instinct reacts. And though he did get some things that aren't explainable, when you watch this documentary, you'll know, that are amazing, he also got a chance to look at the human psyche. And a lot of times when we're stuck in these environments, just so that you know, we get the weirdest feelings and the weirdest emotions. We hear the strangest things. And a lot of it is just simply ourselves because, well, we're in a scary place. You know, put yourself in one of the morgue slots at Waverly and just lay in there for about an hour and a half and see how scared you get.
Right?
It's an amazing situation. Listeners, just so that you know, we're going to take a brief pause. You're listening to Paranormal Truth and Reality. We're talking to Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor is a young individual that has been in the paranormal for quite a while as a spectator. He's had a privilege of going on several film shoots with me, and you're always welcome to do that again, Jonathan. If you feel like it, I'll shoot you over the next time I'm out with Gavin or somebody, and you can tag along. We'll film them. You'll love Paranormal Journeys, by the way. Gavin and Paul are wonderful people. So forth. Got a little bit sidetracked. We're listening on BBS Radio. BBS Radio, listeners, so that you know, is one of the largest digital radio stations. If you're going to go with the best, I do encourage you to talk to Donald. Go with BBS. A little bit of an other note so that everybody is aware. there has been speculation within the past 3 to 4 weeks about Generation Truth because of a few things that were going on that we decided to part ways from. So that you're aware, Generation Truth is a business and a documentary dedicated to the paranormal. We are still 100% functional. We have a whole list of sites going on. We're retooling social media for very key reasons. Reason number one is, obviously, there's a lot of dramatic nature that's not needed on social media. And reason number two is, if I put too much out there, you're not going to want to watch. So we're in the production phases to putting out our first promotions. You will see that on Facebook and several other areas, as well as social media when Generation Truth comes up and running with its first three promotions. And we're working with a few networks currently to actually put together some real programming outside of the paranormal and beyond. So we are 100% functional here at Generation Truth and retooling some things for some amazing looks here in 2023 through 2024, as well as starting in 2021 and 2020. So make sure that you keep an eye on your televisions, your streamline channels, because we will be, if everything works out right, on Netflix. We will have a Roku channel for people that want to view some of it for free. You're obviously going to have to pay for a little bit of it, but all of the programs that air on television and air on Netflix will backtrack on Roku. So you'll always have a chance to watch everything that we produce. The goal here with Generation Truth, to make sure that we not only give back to the paranormal, but we do, as Generation Truth and Paranormal Truth and Reality, obviously speak the truth from the eyes of the culture, the people, and the reality itself. Other news really quickly. August 26th is Ohio State Reformatory's group investigation. We now have roughly about 8 or 9 people that have confirmed and paid for their slots. The slots run right around now. I've lowered it so that we can finish this off at another 8 to 9 people. $80 a slot. So if you're interested in joining us at the Ohio State Reformatory as Generation Truth, as well as doing some investigation with Robert and the team and hearing the history from the Ohio State Reformatory, make sure that you get a hold of us here on Facebook. You can look me up. My name is Christopher Houston, or you can go to the Generation Truth page or the Paranormal Truth and Reality page. Let me know. We've got a few questions and a few screening processes that we go through to make sure that it's going to work for you and it's also going to work for us, but we'd love to have you along. Well, that's the end of the advertising portion of it. We're going to jump back straight in here with Jonathan. As you're noticing, Jonathan, we are an open forum here at Paranormal Truth and Reality, so we talk about a lot of individual things. We talked about a couple of my personal experiences, your personal experiences. So let's just kind of jump into what you have as an interest when you're starting to delve into some of the science and some of the more in-depth things when you're dealing with the paranormal. We all know we like to look at ghosts. But what amazes you the most when you're looking at television shows, when you're hanging out at the ghost tours, when you're seeing investigators and so forth? What amazes you the most? What would you like to dive deeper in to find out, hey, does that really work?
Basically, like using some of the equipment to determine what equipment will work and what won't, or what's going to pick certain things up. And what's going to pick up some other stuff that maybe one piece of equipment's not going to pick up.
You know, and that's something that I don't think a lot of people test, to be frankly honest with you. You know, you see one Mel meter, you see one EMF gauge. How many people actually pull out all of them and test them? That would be interesting. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll just buy one of each meter and we'll stick them all out to see if anything reads differently. That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like each piece of equipment could be different in some type of way. I mean, it's typically when you go buy, we'll say, something that is expensive versus the cheaper version of it, but it looks exactly the same. It's not exactly put together or made the exact same way as the other.
Well, yeah, because one's made in China and one's made in America. Sorry, that's not a racial thing, everybody, just so that you know, but we all know that when you purchase something from China, you do it for a reason. It's cheaper. But every now and then when you buy the cheaper product, is that necessarily the best? Well, I have learned from experience it's not. I've had to retool a whole area down here with video editing because I just wasted money on four computers trying to go the cheap route. And I assure you guys, if you're going to do video editing and you're planning on creating servers and so forth, and Donald being in radio, if he was actually if he actually chimed in, would tell you, don't go with the cheap, because the cheaper you go, the more problems you have. I've now had to upgrade everything two times, and I'm rewiring my systems now because I went cheap first. Yeah, that didn't work very well. Of course, you know that. How many flaws did we have with the cheap cameras when we were out filming?
Yeah, there's quite a few.
Yep. They would power down all the time. The Sony was with us virtually the whole night. We didn't have hardly any problems with it. I think we had to swap a battery out, once?
Yeah, I think it's at least once, maybe twice. Can't remember exactly.
The Lord have mercy. My cheap cameras, we were plugging them in about every 30 minutes before it was over with.
Yeah, it was back and forth to the charger to plug them in. And
yeah, it's a handful. So that's something, if you guys are trying to actually start a team somewhere along the line, to consider. A lot of people will tell you it doesn't take a lot to be a paranormal investigator, and that is actually true, just so that you guys know. It doesn't take a lot to go out and investigate. In fact, technically you can go out and investigate with a phone, a compass, a dowsing rod, and a digital recorder. All of those things are dirt cheap. In fact, you can get a dowsing rod by going out and finding one by breaking up a few limbs. if you're going to take that to the next level, and there are several levels. I encourage you listeners, when I actually put together my book, I want you to read it. It's not going to get famous. It's not going to make me famous. But there are going to be some key things there that come from the real paranormal society. And when you're actually putting together a team, there are several reasons you put together a team, just so that everybody understands. Reason number one is you're truly interested in the paranormal. And there are some teams out there. We just had the great privilege of working with Justin Brown and Interface Death. They believe massively in the project and the science. They will dig deeply into it. They're always looking for funding. And then you have the other side, and those are thrill seekers. They often put together things based off of seeking the thrills. And they like a little bit of the fame. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not dissing either one. I'm just giving you the facts here. These are the two facts involved when you're actually looking at the paranormal and teams. Now, when you're doing that, if you're going to go for the thrill-seeking version or even the scientific version, don't go cheap first. You're going to go out. You're going to go to Amazon and a half a dozen places. You're going to find night vision cameras for under $100. I can assure you they're not going to work. Yeah, they have a pretty picture for a little while. But I have four dead up here in less than a year just by testing out individual models. They just went dead. I've got two that we use, and I use them as secondary cameras a lot of times because of what Jonathan mentioned. You get about a good hour and a half worth of filming out of them, and then for the rest of the night, you got to charge them every 30 minutes. So if you're going to do it, plan to do it right. Do your research. Look into your cameras. Make sure you know what you're doing. And if you're going to put together a show for that, there's a whole other category to go into. So understand that when you're going in. If you're going to go in for the science, do your research. Get your education. Spend time looking at the books. Yes, it sounds boring. And I'm not going to lie, some of it is, unless you're fascinated with it. But when you open those doors, it becomes something totally new. When you start studying quantum physics, geology, archaeology, you start reading the books. You start looking at the real interviews. You start going beyond just going out and getting a thrill. You realize the paranormal is a wonderful place, and there's a bunch of things you can actually apply if you truly want to become an investigator to see if it really works. And that's a very good point that you brought up, Jonathan, actually. That's something investigators don't do that often. I've seen many, many investigators that have every one of those millimeters and every one of those EMF meters, from the cheap all the way up to the top. But how often do they lay them all out to see the differences and just see if each one is going to gauge differently or if they're all going to match?
Exactly.
That would be a curious experiment. That really would. That'd be a curious experiment to do. I think we're gonna do that here at Generation Truth. In fact, I'll bring you along. We'll set up everything. We'll film you while we're doing it because it was your idea, and we'll put you in the piece if you're cool with that.
That sounds fine to me.
So, yeah, that's a good point. What other things do you think you'd actually personally like to see? I know you've watched a lot of ghost shows. You've been out on a lot of things. What would you personally like to see?
I mean, honestly, I'd like to see more of, I guess, getting the scientifics and asking more, I don't know, more advanced questions or whatnot to try to maybe get some type of communication other than the normal, like who's here or whatnot.
Kind of go above what you usually see and get into more detail. You'll actually get a chance to see some of that. There's a Canadian show produced by True North Paranormal that are going to be putting a show together. Now, I won't get into a lot of details about it because Dean hasn't given me permission, but I encourage you when it comes out, listeners, to actually watch it. It will be out on television up here. I think they're planning on releasing it next year if everything goes well. Dean has been working on hunting and fishing shows with major television channels through cable TV for quite a long time, and then he ventured into the paranormal. He's a geologist. He's been on my show before. But they're actually going to take some time to do some of what you're saying. They're going to take some time to sit down and talk about the science and apply it. And I think it's a great concept. I really do. More people should do that, to be honest with you. It's going to – hopefully it'll help change the aspects of the paranormal. Hopefully more people will open their eyes a little bit, because I don't know about you, but I'm kind of getting tired of the average ghost show.
Yeah. Because basically it seems like every time you watch an episode, it's just about the same thing.
Yep. Yep. And then you go to YouTube to try to find something different, and guess what? You got the same thing.
Yeah.
So I really want to see some change in some of the things that's out there. Of course, Generation Truth is going to be working with people to do some of that change. But I'm excited when people like Dean come to me and say they have a new concept that they're doing, and though I can't share it in a lot of detail, I think it would be great for some of these people to dive in and just, you know, really get down in depth into studying this and just finding the answers. Because a lot of times what we think the answers are, because we've watched on television and media, I can assure you from being in the scientific community and the real paranormal community, listeners, those aren't the right answers. You're on the wrong track. I can tell you that right off the bat. Now, I'm not going to tell you why, because I myself am putting together some pieces with some very professional people that have been in the paranormal for a long time to show you that, to show you what the right track is. But I can assure you a lot of what you're seeing in media, though it's great for entertainment, they're wonderful at what they do, they're awesome at it, they try to keep it as real as possible, and a lot of what you see on YouTube, paranormal investigators, if you're listening, I assure you, you're on the wrong track. If you get on the right track and you listen to people like Justin and a few other people that are in it for the science, and you collect the data and you do it the right way, your answers will come. They came before. If you do your research, you apply the science and the education that has been here now for 80 years, your answers will come. But you're on the wrong track. You're stuck out there in the field of thrill and fame and wanting to be the next show, and you've forgotten what it's about. So I would encourage everybody listening to think about that a little bit. Put some real thought into that. How often have you questioned what you're doing when you're out in the field? How often have you just thrown that meter out there and said, oh, I got a ghost? How often have you put the ITC equipment out there and went, my God, I'm talking to a ghost? We've all done it. I've done it. And I come from the paranormal community and fell into that a couple of times. But I can assure you, you're on the wrong track. But the right track is there. So dig deeper. Put some thought into it. Think about it. And then apply that. And when you do, I've got news for you. I'll watch you. Jonathan, would you watch them?
Yeah.
I know America would as well. In fact, Generation Truth is going to be bringing some of that out. I won't tell you our unique styles, but we are going to be working on that quite aggressively now that we went into the paranormal world and we've covered documentaries on some wonderful people. And we're going to be telling their stories. We're also going to be covering that scientific view a little bit. And we're going to be talking to people about what the right track is. We're going to be breaking that down into more detail. Though I can't get into much detail about that, I do encourage you to take a look past some of these promos, because these promos are going to give you introductions so that you know when we produce them here in the next month and a half and you start seeing them release, you're going to see emotion. You're going to see reality. You're going to see some introduction to science. You're going to see some introduction into method. And you're going to see some introduction into reality. Now, you can take that, listeners, however you want to take it, because it's not here to offend. But for those of you that are actually here to learn about the paranormal, you're fascinated with what a ghost is. You're fascinated with whether Bigfoot is really out there. You really want to know about UFOs. You're curious on why when you walk into certain locations, things happen. You want to know why those meters go off. You really want to go beyond that to try to figure out the physics and the science involved. Congratulations, because not only me, but a lot of other shows are going to be doing it in unique ways here in the next 4 or 5 years. And they're going to be fascinating. We're doing it for education. Other people are doing this on major television for other reasons. So when you see us, we're doing it in documentary form. I encourage you to go past that and look at some of these other TV shows. True North Paranormal. Take the time to spend time with Justin Brown on Interface Death. Some of his stuff, when he puts up things, guys, amazing. He's working on devices that, boy, they go way over my head. It's like looking at what's the name of that guy? I'm gonna sling this back to you because you'll know who I'm talking to, Jonathan. There's a guy and I know I'm almost out of time, but he has a puppet show that has a guy, a puppet that goes vroom.
I can't remember.
I can't remember him either, but that's what Justin does. He goes vroom right over my head. He's creating some amazing science, and he's applied it all from the research, spending the time collecting the data, looking into the books, getting the education involved. And he doesn't have a science education, guys. He took the time to ask. He took the time to spend and read. He took the time to apply. We can all do this. We're just stuck in a loop that's on the wrong track. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Well, listeners, you've been listening to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston. We've had the great privilege of having Jonathan Taylor on. Jonathan, you're always welcome to come back to the show. I'll get together with you here in the next couple of weeks once Gavin gets better. And a shout-out to Gavin Kelly. He got bit by a spider. I hope he doesn't mind me saying that, but he's very sick right now. So any of the listeners that know him, give him best wishes because he's a good guy. He missed a shoot this weekend, and he's working very diligently on his show that just got picked up, by the way. So shout out to him. Make sure that everybody says, hey, I hope you feel better. And when we're out again, I'll bring you along to do some camera work, Jonathan. Next week, we have got the very infamous Paranormal Truth and Reality. Let's think about this. About once every 3 months to 4 months, listeners, I take at least one episode to sit down and talk to you about the facts of the paranormal, what we've seen lately on the internet, and what has came out actually in actual sightings and so forth, so that we can go over a lot of educational things called Let's Think About This for a Moment. So it'll be all me. I hope you enjoyed talking to me, or at least calling in during that period in time. I will address the 800 number so that you can do so. That is our show tonight. I'm going to end this the way I end it every single time. As you've noticed from talking to me and Jonathan tonight, in the paranormal, truth should always be that reality. Sometimes we forget that it's not just about us creating a good show, but it's about the listeners, it's about the viewers, and it's about the people out there every day that's in the culture like Jonathan and everybody else. So don't be afraid to talk about your stories, and don't be afraid to ask. And don't be afraid to come on my show if you really want to. I'd be glad to have you. That's our show. We'll let you go, and you have a very good weekend.